Run the track!
Welcome to Foster the Podcast.
Oh, no!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world-famous Foster the Podcast. This is the official show of stand-up comedian Justin Foster and professional life coach Christy Marie Royster. Every week, we bring to you the craziest stories, the best interviews, pop culture news, also dating and relationship advice. Brand new episodes every Monday, available on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, search for Foster the Podcast on there. Also, check out our website, fosterthepodcast.com, where you can download past episodes, you can email Christy and I, and donate to the show. Also, for my stand-up tour dates, visit my website, justincomic.com. And now, enjoy this week's episode. Welcome to Foster the Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Foster. Episode 193, creeping up on the big 200. My co-host for November, Mr. Ken Garr.
Hey, buddy.
At Ken Garr.
At Comedian Ken Garr.
At Comedian Ken Garr. I always fuck that up.
It's okay.
At Comedian Ken Garr. And our guest this week, very funny, Stuart Thompson is
Hi,
here
guys.
Today. Hey, Stuart.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being here. Sorry it was so last minute.
Hey, no big deal,
I'm literally in town for like 8 hours, and I was like, I have to do a podcast today.
We get it. You're out pastoring and stuff.
Dude, I officiated a wedding last week in Texas.
Oh, really?
And it was probably one of the most fulfilling moments of my entire life. It was very nice.
Were these close friends of yours?
Very close friends. Yeah, I lived on their couch.
It's the biggest bringer show ever.
Yeah.
But isn't that what 200 people with?
Yeah. But isn't that what every wedding is?
Yeah, right.
It's really hard to bomb at weddings, but you know, I don't want to test that.
I bombed a best man speech once.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
What did you tell him that you were performing in Vegas?
Yeah, right.
You plugged your MGM grand dates.
Yeah. Check out my website.
They should have got married in Vegas. We'll all be December 5th and 13th.
Yeah.
What happened?
It was my best friend, and first of all, it was too long.
Your speech?
The speech was too long.
Okay.
And I think it was too many like inside jokes.
Loves to talk.
It was
they're giving him the light.
Yeah. It was like you know, your typical like South Side Chicago Irish Catholic, let's just drink kind of wedding.
Okay.
So they weren't in a speech mood.
Okay.
So
yeah,
if I could take it back, I'd cut it in half.
You cut it, chop it.
Oh yeah.
Did he say anything to you after, or was it like a?
Oh no, he loved it. He loved the speech.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all that matters.
Yeah, really.
Can you imagine? He's like, dude, you fucked up.
He's like, bro,
you ruined my wedding.
Like in the middle of Ken's speech, like the bride just grabs another thing of wine and just pours it into her glass.
Yeah. He gave me some notes afterwards.
He gave some notes.
She licks her finger and like puts it on the rim of the wine glass. Woom 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 woom.
Oh,
just to
drown him out.
Yeah. Just to heckle you.
It was one of those things where so not a lot of people. I'm kind of a celebrity in Dallas, so was kind of like not. It wasn't very. A lot of people didn't know that I was the one doing it, so yeah. I was in the back the entire time.
Got it.
And so I'm cool. I'm calm. I'm collected. I've rehearsed it. Everything's great. I walk out and I walk down the aisle, right? And I stand and I turn around. And there's 150 people there, and I know 140 of them.
Right.
Right. And then for some reason, my heart started beating too fast. Mm-hmm. I started sweating. All the moisture in my mouth like left.
Yeah.
And my brain started doing that thing. It's like, what if you pass out? What if you throw up? What if you need a glass of water? What if you forget? Like literally, as they're walking down. Does your brain ever do that to you?
Oh yeah.
It
constantly.
I usually keep it pretty in check, but for some reason it like got a hold of me.
Yeah.
And then I'm in it and I'm like, oh my god, and then I look and then she's standing there and it's time to start,
right?
So I was like, okay, like I took a deep breath and then like we went into it and it was like awesome.
Yeah, as you start, right?
Yeah, but yeah. There was like that, it was a good 30 to 45 seconds where I was like, the room closed in.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all my friends and they're like, Justin's really doing this? And
yeah.
I start like, I'm like, oh my god, what if I pass? Could you imagine the biggest day of their life and the guy who's officiating it needs to sit down for a second and have like an orange juice?
And just like a glass of water. Yeah. Something sugar's low.
I just can't handle the weight of your love.
Right.
It's really weakened my knees.
But it went great, man. I want to do more of those. It's very satisfying.
Now, do you want to do like people you know, or do you want to just like throw up on Craigslist?
The goal is to do, because this is the third one I've done. Yeah. The goal is to do all of my friends, sure. But if people like on Craigslist want to hire me, I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, but like all of our friends are married already and stuff. Like, how much more supply is out there for you?
Or none of our friends are ever going to get married.
Yeah, exactly.
So what you got to do is you got to wait for some of your friends who are already married to get divorced and we go on the second go around.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Get ready for the reunion tour.
Right.
I'll have you for the second.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
A lot of you guys probably remember me from the first time he got married. Just did the same guys twice.
Yeah.
Why?
Here we are again.
Well, round two. Wedding remix.
Why does that pastor have glow sticks?
Do you think you'd ever get married again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked being married, man. I liked, like, coming home to somebody, having somebody that had your back.
Yeah.
You know, and just somebody to talk to and sleep next to. I didn't have a problem with marriage. It's just...
Just the person you're married to.
Yeah, just the wrong situation. That's all.
Yeah, it's just that fine print, man.
Yeah, dude.
Marriage is great. The person picking the right one is the problem.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to get married?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not against it necessarily. It's just a matter of it being the right person.
Yeah.
And I'm not in a position where it would be good to do it now.
Right.
You know, I'm 26.
Like, Oh, yeah.
Like, I've seen people who are around my age getting married, and I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, at 26?
Yeah.
When'd you get married, Ken?
I was at 31.
Oh, see, okay,
yeah,
all right,
I was
yeah.
Older, 30, 31.
Yeah, it's just most people my age don't really know themselves, so I feel like you should know yourself at least a little better.
Yeah.
before you decide to make a merger with another person. I also see marriage as kind of like a business thing, mm-hmm. to be quite honest.
Oh, 100%.
Because it's... I mean, you can love someone wholeheartedly and not need to marry them, mm-hmm. just because that's not part of your plan. Like, I mean, I look at my parents' marriage and I see them as just like the merger of two great companies. Mm-hmm. And their goal now is to make two hopefully well-adjusted kids. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what they set out to do. And I think they did a decent job.
Mm-hmm. And now that your panties are soaked, ladies.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Ladies.
If you're looking for a merger, Stuart is your man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never propose. Work on your proposal.
Yeah.
Would you like to merge with me?
I've put together some proposals for you to review.
I have this Excel.
The one thing that every lady has called me, it is romantic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Wistful.
I've got this spreadsheet with facts, and this is how our business can grow in the next two to eight years.
Charlize, I ran the numbers, and it looks like we're going to make it.
That's like your joke when you talk about getting divorced, where it's like it's very business.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like they lay you off or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. getting dumped by a girl is like getting laid off from a company.
Yes.
We no longer need your services. Go ahead and move on.
Did you say your ex showed up in a pantsuit?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Well, this is bad.
No, this can't be good.
Oh, man. I saw you posted on Facebook, Ken, the other day. Did you had like a weird like Uber thing?
Yeah. So, you know, like most comics, we're all broke. And so I do Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't, by the way, ladies.
Oh, just all right.
Okay, all right. Neither do I.
Oh, hello.
I ran those numbers too.
I'm still broke. I'm just not doing anything about it.
When you've got a $100 a day heroin problem, wait, strike that. So I was doing Uber one night or the other night, and I picked up a beautiful girl, mm-hmm. in this black evening gown, and
yes.
I'm just like, oh, wow, this is, you know, and she's very quiet, and I'm not one of those, I don't talk a lot, I just say, hey, how's your night going? If they want to talk, they talk.
To who you don't talk a lot?
Well, because the biggest complaint I get is that from people are like, oh, my Uber driver just talks so much.
Oh, to your fares.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So I this long speech.
Yeah.
Like I was getting married and he knew me. So weird.
If I would have cut my conversation down with the passenger by half, I would have.
She just wanted to drink. And I was getting in the way of that.
Okay. So her destination is Beverly Hills.
Okay.
I take her to this mansion in Beverly Hills.
Hold on. Would you pick her up at? In the Valley?
Oh, I can't. You know, I can't remember where.
Okay.
I think it was in the Valley. Yeah.
Okay.
So she's dressed in the nines. Mm-hmm. Drop her off at this mansion. Now she gets out of the car. Now she didn't say anything the whole ride, which is totally fine.
Okay.
You know, gets out of the car and puts on one of those like Eyes Wide Shut masks.
Right.
Not even kidding. Like as soon as she got out of the car, sure. Like time to go into character.
Right. Yeah.
And then walks up the driveway. And now I'm just like completely like what is this? Walks into a house that's a security guard at the front door.
Really?
And this wasn't like a costume party,
right.
Or a
Halloween
gala.
Thing,
yeah.
Right.
Like this was just like
a Wednesday.
Yeah. Like I need to be like, and it just made me like realize like I don't have the life that I want to have.
that was the
you
moment.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Yes. Like,
as you drop the hot chick off to get gangbanged.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Man.
Like, I do a lot of cool shit. I've got a very blessed life, but I've never been like, hey, come to this party. The password is rhubarb.
Right. Yeah.
And wear a tuxedo and bring a mask. Like, oh my God.
Because you see that shit on the movies, right?
Yeah.
You always see the right. You always see the like the weird Hollywood parties, but I've never. Did you get the address?
Oh, yeah.
Kid comes back an hour later with the mask on. Hey. Yeah. You guys trying to party?
Something about a rhubarb? Yeah.
Somebody order rhubarb?
Is Alicia still here? Because she left her cell phone in my car.
She only gave me 4 stars.
But what was even funnier is that, so I posted like, I posted that on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is, you know, I just realized I'm not living the life I want to live.
Right.
And then all of a sudden people took that as like this like cry for help or
this
not
fans?
Accepting of my own
Don't
self.
Don't Ken.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just, you've got a great life.
You're
and
doing
just,
great.
You don't want to be one of those people. Like it's
You'll
just
go to the masquerade
joke.
One day. Like this is act one in some right. romantic comedy.
Right, right.
You eventually meet her at another masquerade. It's like, why are there so many masquerades in 2016?
I have a plethora of masquerade masks.
That's one thing I've learned is you cannot be self-deprecating on Facebook.
Oh.
You can, but everyone's going to come in to cheer you up. Like, it's a joke.
Oh, I'll make a joke about like, well, hitting, you know, starting this diet finally like with some throwaway joke or whatever.
Sure.
Like, nah, bro, that's not the diet you want to do.
Right, yeah.
No, you can't just cut out carbs, bro. They'll come right back. You'll just gain the run. Like, I didn't ask
the
anybody
Facebook
for their advice.
The Facebook fact police is yeah. just the worst.
I think there's got to be a way where you can just mute or block everybody and still be able to put out what you want. I mean, sure. I mean, I guess there's things like Twitter and whatever, but like, I'm so tired of just having to put out stuff and have people respond genuinely. It's
yeah.
like, please know these are jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please, family, friends,
yeah.
acquaintances, spam bots, please know these are jokes.
And you do stand up.
Yeah.
It's not like you're the funny guy in the office who's cracking jokes where people are like, okay, maybe Stu is going through them. You're like, this is your profession.
I'm not a politician. I don't mean it.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Like, dude,
I think
the
that's
worst.
The difference. It's, oh, God. I cannot deal with another like family member is like, you have family on this in your friend group. You need to it's like, well, unfriend me then.
Oh, want you yeah. to censor your posts and stuff?
Yeah, or just like this made me feel weird. It's like, well, this is maybe it's not for you then.
Right. Yeah. yeah.
People feel very entitled on Facebook. Like mm-hmm. like your like their opinion matters or should matter more than it really does. It's like, bro, we were in third grade together. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 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 exactly.
Really, yeah,
right. You haven't talked to me in 12 years.
Yeah.
You don't know.
You don't know me.
I know. It's because you can literally leave a comment and somebody will see it. So yeah. it's almost like leaving a voicemail. They think it's very, like, we're so accessible. I don't know who half these people are. They're
All
leaving
right.
comments. And most of them I ignore it. But I think it's their thinking that they're more, it's like a more personal connection than it really is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I guess, like, if you have a fan, I guess you could just switch over to, like, a fan page and stuff.
Yeah.
But then I would have a hard time telling my, like, hey, Mom, just like my fan page because I don't want you commenting anymore.
You know, I'll also be in situations where you're Facebook friends with somebody that either you haven't met
right.
before.
Yeah.
Or in a couple of situations, we're Facebook friends and then you're going to pretend like you don't know me.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's the weirdest.
Yeah,
I just stare at them from across the room and unfriend them.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even going to say hello to me?
Right.
Like,
right.
We've
yeah.
conversed over this platform before, and now all of a sudden you can't talk to me live.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm considering greatly just like, I think there's a way to transfer everything from your personal page into a fan page.
Yeah.
And,
uh-huh.
and without, and you, and it, if the people don't want to do it, then they can unlike it. But like,
so you can automatically bring them over.
I think there's a way to, I need to figure it out. And if there's anyone listening, please message me and tell me how to do this.
Please comment on my,
please add me on Facebook. And then
you're doing great,
me.
Stuart. You deserve a fan page.
Well, yeah, it's just like, just help me figure out how to transfer it so I don't have to listen to all these other nincompoops.
Stay positive.
Yeah.
You look great.
Yeah, I know. I think about it all the time. Like, there's some things I want to post where I'm like, this is hilarious. hilarious, but this is going to cause a lot of... Is there any way, like, can you just, disable comments?
Well, you can either disable comments. I think you can also pick and choose who it goes out to, but it's so arduous.
Right, yeah.
I shouldn't have to censor myself based on, like...
Location?
Location or just, you know, who's seeing this. And it's like, because you don't know if anyone's going to see it anyway, because if you post it in the middle of the night, who's going to see it? It's going to be outrun by the morning's news cycle.
Yeah. There's a part of me, and I've talked about it on the show probably for the last 3 years, that was like that would just love to delete all of it, to just delete all of it and just not have to think about it.
I deleted my Facebook app from my phone last
week. Yeah, we've all done that, Ken.
It's my first time.
Here's what you do. I've done it 9 times.
Aww.
You delete the app, right, and then next thing you know, you're on Safari checking Facebook, which takes twice as long.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah.
Then you re-download the Facebook app.
Yep.
Then a week later, you take it off. Dude, I've been doing this back and forth for the last year and a half.
It felt freeing.
It feels great.
It felt liberating.
I will put money on this podcast that says in 3 weeks you have it back downloaded.
Oh, it's already back. Well, I mean, you can't manage events through your phone on this damn Safari thing, you know?
You can't do shit.
Yeah. They thought this through. They want that app money.
I think you have the right idea, though. Just move it all to the fan page. That way, if you post, they don't even know if it's you running it anymore.
Yeah, and I think there's a way, I got to look into it, but there's a way for you to just post from one source that's none of the sites. Like, it's not Twitter, it's not Instagram, it's not Facebook, but you can just post through, I think there might be something like Who Say or something like that, where it all just comes from one source, so you can just post it, put it out in the world, people can see it, and then you don't have to, you know, if people really want to try to reach you, they'll try to reach you, but, like, you don't really, like, I think it allows for a little bit more of a filter from just whatever, I don't want to call it backlash, but feedback.
Sure, yeah.
I'm so tired of it eating up a portion of my day, because there's, like, there's fucking books I could be reading.
I know.
I could be reading. I've been delaying doing research on all these props that I got to vote on tomorrow.
Oh, the voting chair.
Yeah. Right. It's like, oh god. There's so much productivity and research and actual like reading for the sake of like crafting jokes and like learning about something so I can share with others.
Right.
That is just being delayed or not even attempted.
Meanwhile, I got to deal with Simon in Winnipeg. Right. Yeah. Who just didn't like my Bush comment from 3 years ago.
And that's another thing. Dude, I can absolutely, because of where I'm from and where I live now, I can absolutely not post anything political on Facebook without having, not necessarily people attacking me, but just them attacking each other in the comments thread.
Oh, sure.
You start these weird, like, crosstown wars.
It's Texas versus California, and I leave for 30 minutes to grab a sandwich.
You guys are from the middle of the country, so I mean, it's a little bit more polarized.
Yeah, very much so.
As someone from the Bay Area, I mean, it's like, and, you know, still living in metropolitan Southern California, it's there's only so many people who are, the people who are going to be, like, the polarization is just so different.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people who are, you know, it's just like far, far left. And then there's just a couple people in the center is like, hey, can we just be reasonable for a second?
Right, yeah.
And it's like, shut up.
Right. That's it.
You regressive asshole.
Yeah.
I'm not very political, and I keep my political views to myself, but I still make jokes political, you know what I mean? So I think one time I did a joke, it wasn't anti-anybody, but I think it was like Trump, you know, whatever, and then someone posted, it's better than that crooked Hillary. I'm like, calm down.
Yeah.
And then someone else jumps, and now I got to delete the post because I don't want notifications all day.
Yeah.
I'm
not trying to start a war because of some stupid dick joke I wrote on the toilet.
I do post a lot of political stuff.
Do you?
Because I don't care what people think.
Right.
And you can unfriend me. You can unfollow me. It doesn't matter. But these are my views. And I'm not going to, you know, back away from them. If I think that somebody's unqualified to be the president of the United States, then that's what the view I'm going to express. Mm-hmm. You know, I think my point of view is it is. I would rather have a fan base that agrees with my views than opposed, or at least is willing to take a like look at them or listen to them, and, you know, hopefully they find the humor in them as opposed to like, screw that guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I know.
Well, then go.
I know. There's been I don't know if you guys do this, but there's so many times where like people will post something and I'd like type, you know, my response in the cut, and then I just go, well, what am I doing? And I just hit delete. I'm like, this is not even where this is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I probably type and delete something at least once a day.
Sure. I don't.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't really participate in Facebook comment discussions unless someone's like directly addressing me, which I mean, that's never really the case. But it's like I only post like heartfelt stuff is like once in a blue moon. And like, unless there's a thread where it's like, but it's private and it's just between me and several people. And we're just like, you know, we're trying to figure out how to, you know, move forward on something, whether it's like a group where we're trying to film something or it's like, you know, something Comedy Store related or whatever. It's like that stuff. Then I'll write. I remember I wrote something like heartfelt because it was like a bunch of door guys and we were trying to figure out how to like, we had just had a staff meeting and we were trying to like regroup.
Right.
To, you know, figure out what we wanted as staff. Because mm-hmm. That place is, you know, is this weird, you know, gross and great fraternity.
The Comedy Store?
Yeah. And so like there, because I've been working there for a while, I have sincere feelings and I have that need to be expressed and I will share those. But yeah, aside from that, it's like anything else that's public. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think George Carlin said it the best. The public sucks.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. A person is great, but the public sucks.
Yeah. And just for you listeners out there, so Stuart Thompson is a great stand-up comedian and also one of the main doormen at the world-famous Comedy Store, which is arguably the best comedy club in the country. So
yeah. Probably the world.
Yeah, probably the world.
Yeah. How long have you been working there?
At the end of January, it will be 5 years.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome.
Sure. I do love being there and I appreciate that they've let me be there as long as I have been.
Yeah, I was about to say it's not awesome that you worked there, it's awesome that you've had the same job for 5 years. Cause
What's that like? Yeah. You know, it's highs and lows, strikes and gutters.
Sure.
I don't know how much longer I'm going to be there, but I mean, I'm gonna, you know, because eventually I just want to be a comedian
full time, yeah,
yeah, and just do other stuff and have nights free so I can go and check out other people's shows and,
yeah,
you know, just be around a little bit more, because there is an opportunity cost to me spending nights, you know, wearing, I don't even call the black shirt that I wear a shirt. It's a shroud. Because there's fucking like the
shroud of West Hollywood.
There's like, I don't smoke cigarettes, but there's like cigarette size burn holes in all of my work shirts. And my manager's just like, why are your shirts this way? It's like, dude, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Because I live the life, man. You know?
But something is wrong. Apparently secondhand smoke also has fire in it.
Something is clearly wrong here.
I'm checking IDs and just someone smoking nearby and it's just eating away at my shirt. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's something to be said, too, about, like, it sucks when you, like, you know, if you could drive for Uber or whatever, you can do that during the day. But, you know, bartending and working nights and stuff, you kind of need, you know, your nights free, especially in this town, to go out and run around.
Yeah, and I've been tutoring kids lately, and that's...
Have you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I did in college, and I stopped for a while just because I was involved with, you know, just trying to get things started as a comedian.
Right.
So that was great. It was great to do it in college, and it's nice to do it again. Again, there's highs and lows with that, too.
Sure.
It's like there's benefits and drawbacks to any job that you're using to help finance your dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I love helping kids. I mean, it's, keep in mind, folks, it's mostly one percenters. I'm no saint. I'm not helping like poor kids just because those are not the people that are coming to the company.
Listen to the podcast. He also tutors kids.
Yeah, ladies.
I am allegedly good with kids.
Very practical.
Yeah. It's nice to see a kid understand something.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about, you know, this sort of the political stuff. My one main political belief is I believe that education funding and education focus is going to be the source of the solutions to all our problems.
Okay.
That's really the main belief that I have. Because if you have an educated populace, then you can actually make reasonable change because everyone can be on board with something because they can grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
So, or they can grasp it and realize this is bullshit.
Yeah.
So if I can help a kid understand, you know, geometry or Spanish, then cool.
There's something to be said, too, about, like, just doing something for others. You are getting paid for it, sure. But there's something about, like, doing something that's – because comedy is very selfish. And we're in a very self-absorbed industry, whether it be –
Oh yeah,
audition or so. Whenever you could do something like that for somebody else, it's very fulfilling. It's very satisfying.
Yeah,
you know?
And the parents appreciate it.
Yeah,
because I mean, you know, most kids are growing up in, you know, households where both parents are working, or, you know, it's a single parent.
Yeah,
and, you know, they got to work, and it's, you know, you're the you're like a second or third parent to these kids.
I think that's why I take to these weddings so much, because it's like 9.5 minutes where I'm not thinking about me.
Yeah, and you're giving back, and you're just talking about how great these two people are and why they should be together.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I plug my website at the end.
Giving out handouts at the end with your social media.
Guys, if you liked my words tonight, check me out.
I got a CD for sale.
See me at Hyenas in Fort Worth.
I got a discount at the back.
That would be great. You sold CDs.
Could you imagine? The merch booth.
Yeah, right?
Do you travel? Are you able to travel doing stand-up?
Yeah, I've gotten to travel a lot this year. It's been really great.
I think the last I ran into you at a laundromat in San Francisco. Last year.
Yeah, that laundromat is where I first started doing comedy.
Is it really?
The Brainwash.
It was so interesting.
Oh, that place is. I don't know if it's how much it's changed, but I mean, I think they've started to do open mics and shows almost every night there.
Wow.
But it's, as far as like a hangout, it's pretty great. It's in South of Market. It's very accessible to, I think you get a wide swath of like people that are living in San Francisco. It doesn't feel like that land of Oz, that Emerald City of unattainable wealth that most people are now associating San Francisco with. So you get this like, you get these sort of artistically minded people that are just want to eat some good food and wash their clothes and maybe see some comedy.
Yeah.
And then you get some like crazy people that roll through.
It was legit, like really great comics, dudes that were starting out, and then just homeless dudes that were in there to stay warm that went up on the mic to talk.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And on Thursday is the night that I usually would go, and Tony Sparks was usually the host when I would start. And Tony Sparks is like this godfather of San Francisco comedy. And he would always introduce new people, like people who'd never been up at the Brainwash. He had this almost like Cosby like cadence without like the creepiness factor. He was like, "Hey, good people, your next comic is new to the room, so that means give him," and then he'd like give the audience a chance to say a lot of love, say it louder, a lot of, and then so he fostered this great supportive environment for comedy. And it's one of the things that I miss in open mic culture is I think, you know, because in LA everyone's so like business savvy, everyone's trying to get ahead, everyone's so focused on themselves, we're all just like, and no one's really has the room to support others. When I go to smaller towns to do comedy, everyone's so supportive for the most part, and it's great. I miss that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where's your favorite place to perform outside of California?
Outside of California?
Yeah.
I've gotten to see a lot of places, and there's a lot of places I'd love to go back to. I would love to go back to Seattle.
Seattle's great.
I did like the Underground. And it's a great club. Whenever I feel like you should like describe a club, like that's the club you should describe. Mm-hmm. It's like you go into this basement,
right?
Sure,
you know, brick wall behind you. It's low ceiling, and the sound is great. You can hear everything in that room. I got to go to Chicago for the first time. Where Ken's from? Yeah,
Ken's the mayor of Chicago. Ken took me with him April of last year.
Oh, cool!
And it was literally comedy. It was breakfast and comedy, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah, it's I had never been to most of the Midwest, and I got to see a lot of it. I got to go to St. Louis and Kansas City, and I got to go to Texas.
Oh, yeah?
We went. I was in Arlington and Houston, and got to check out Dallas a little bit. There's so many cities I'd love to go back to.
Sure.
I got to go to New York and Vermont and New Hampshire. So I lucked out this year. I managed to travel a lot, and I'm hoping to do more of the same. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how it's going to manifest itself. I know I got Tucson in the books.
There you go.
So,
laughs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
laughs is always on the books. He books like, all right, I got you. I got March 2018. You available? Yeah, Gary, I'm available.
Yeah. So I mean, but I'm hoping to get to see more new cities and go back to some of the ones I've already been to.
There's something to me about traveling, like even if it's not like the great. Okay, I apologize to the listeners that we have here, but I get on a plane in a few hours to go to Birmingham, Alabama, South Carolina.
This is where you're going to soon?
Like tomorrow, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
great.
And then Florida, like some small place, and then to Dubuque, Iowa. And it's like, these aren't like amazing, but even like just going to places that are new and like you've never been before, like I just love that, man.
I truly believe that every town has its charm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, there are some towns where the charm is, there is no charm.
Right.
But
But I drove through Dubuque. I went on this like long road trip to see my friends get married, and that's when I went to Chicago. But I drove through on this, you know, with a friend to on this like 5,000-mile round trip, 2-week thing.
Jesus,
yeah, it was crazy. So I would go to these same places, but I would try and minimize the driving if I could.
Catch a flight next time.
Fuck yeah. we went to like Salt Lake and Denver and Ames, Iowa, and we went. The wedding was in Wisconsin. Then we went to, but I drove through places like Dubuque.
Yeah,
and Dubuque. I mean, as we didn't stay there too long, but it was like it was very charming. Mm-hmm. And there's a wooded aspect of the Midwest and a heartfelt honesty to the Midwest that I truly appreciate. Mm-hmm. And you can't find it in a lot of places. I feel like in a bigger metropolitan areas, people are just like too busy to be nice sometimes.
Yeah. They're too in their own head and too focused on getting and surviving.
On their way to the audition.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're on their way to sell a startup
an orgy in Beverly Hills.
Sure.
Right. Don your masks, ladies.
Yeah, you're on your way to go mask shopping for your orgy.
Yeah. Or even if you go to New York, there's just like all these people who everyone's sort of closed off as a way of like self-preservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everyone's just
survival.
Everyone's just go, 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 go.
Yeah.
I went to New York for a week and I at the pace I was going, because doing comedy in New York is so much fun because you get to move at this great pace and do a bunch of shows.
Right.
But I was like, oh, this is like being on PCP.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
This will kill me.
Yes.
If I keep at this pace.
Yes. Yeah. What's the worst show that you've ever done that you can remember?
The worst show I've ever done probably was in my hometown.
In San Francisco?
Yeah. I was born in San Francisco, but I grew up mostly in Piedmont, California.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which, you know, for people who are not familiar with Piedmont, I sometimes joke on stage that Piedmont is where white people fled from Oakland.
Okay.
which is pretty true. But like Piedmont's this separate city, but it's completely surrounded by Oakland. And it's in this, like, the northern part of Oakland. And I was 2 years out of high school, and I started doing comedy my second semester of college. So I've been doing comedy about a year.
Okay.
And
that's like the first year is like when you know it all and you know everything.
Yeah, when you're a pro.
Yeah.
And
you're ready for HBO.
Yeah, yeah. You're ready to take those meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so
you just check your phone every 15 minutes. Like, that's weird. They haven't called yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you not see me crush at the laundromat?
I sent an email to info@HBO.
Excuse me, Mr. HBO.
Mr. Hubble.
If you please.
Yeah.
Hello, it's Showtime there. We're going to call you back.
I was definitely ready to, you know, make the big time. And so this woman who was running, apparently in my hometown, there's this, for the people who graduate from my high school, they do like a thing for all the guys graduating and a thing for all the girls graduating. Because there are certain aspects of my hometown that are a little, I guess it's overall a liberal town because it's the Bay Area, but it's like, there's parts of it that are a little old school because it's so small. It's only like 12,000 people. So, and it's all residential. So sometimes the dads and grads barbecue is one thing. That's for the guys. And then there's the like senior tea, which is for all the senior girls and their moms.
Okay.
So they've been doing that for a long time.
So dads and grads.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got asked to perform at the dads and grads barbecue for these kids who were graduating, and they were 2 years younger than me. So
right.
I knew.
Right.
I didn't like necessarily know all of them, but like they would recognize me and I would recognize them.
Sure.
So it took place in my town's community center.
This is, by the way, we talked about the show just a couple of weeks ago, that the first year is when you don't say no to gigs. Like, now you would be like, yeah, I'm going to sit that one out. The first year, you're like, yes.
As I've come to find out, like, the eighth year, you're still not saying no to
yeah,
a lot of gigs.
I was
going to
say, I don't know what you're talking about. I take every gig.
Yeah, it's like, oh, to say no.
Yeah. Can you tell some jokes at this wine and painting convention we're going to do? It'll be 40-year-old divorcees that are just hating life.
Kids like, I'm on my way.
They'll be there.
Me, how much? Yeah. Oh, I have to pay my way? Yeah, it'll be an experience.
Dude, not me, man. The older I get, the longer I've been doing this, I've seen so many emails that just say, nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think maybe I'll turn that tide at some point. But, yeah, as you know, a lot of the stuff I'm still saying yes to.
Yeah.
But anyway, ladies. Kidding. So I'm still. So they asked me to do the dads and grads barbecue. I knew the lady who was running it. Mm-hmm. She was a family friend, and she was like, "We'll give you $100. All you got to do is 10 minutes."
Okay.
And it's like, good, because 10 minutes is what I have.
Right, yeah, right. Exactly.
Did you mean 9.5?
Did you mean 8 in crowd work?
Justin?
All right. It's 5 in crowd work.
Yeah, 50-50, split it even. So, and I said, yeah, I mean, I think it was maybe like the second time I'd ever been paid to do mm-hmm. comedy or whatever, so I was like, oh, this is dope. So I go, and it's taking place at my hometown's community center, which has a lot of big windows, and it's daytime.
Oh,
it's right. It's at 5 p.m.
Of course.
And there is a because my town is, you know, to call it affluent is right on the mark. So it's an affluent town. They have a lovely spread for this barbecue.
Uh-huh.
You know, they cook tri-tip, and it was and they had all kinds of, like, you know, accoutrement and like roast veggies, all this great stuff, but all that stuff was outside the community center, and the community center is kind of like this gauntlet where it's all the dads are sitting up front where the stage setting is, uh-huh. and then all the grads, these 18-year-old guys are sitting in the back,
right,
where they can not pay attention to anything or anyone.
Yeah,
and so they did some like announcements and like congratulations on graduating, you guys, and sort of I don't know why they add comedy to these events. Oh, like,
just enjoy it,
or have someone from your group, like a speaker that the kids all picked,
right?
Yeah. Like a representative who's like, hey, remember this, remember that. Yeah. Just have your nostalgia fest.
Have a goddamn slideshow.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, and you know,
a little Wind Beneath My Wings.
Yes,
going.
Yeah. 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 Play this. I will remember you.
Remember like, that, Brody? You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that, Brody.
Yeah, have that. Why bring me in, a stranger,
right,
to most of these people, to talk about my bullshit?
Yeah,
that does not relate. I'm not going to cater my material to these people. Right. I don't have material to cater.
Right. Yeah. This is it.
There's no room for there's no wiggle room here. So I go. They introduce me, and they introduce me well. Sure. All things considered, they please welcome Stuart Thompson. Like, I don't feel like you know how some hosts in those kinds of settings, they'll be like, Stuart Thompson is going to be on. He does this anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Here, a person.
He thinks he's funny. You guys decide.
We got ourselves a jokester.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God.
You're coming up.
Yeah. So they brought me up, and I did my thing, and it was just there was no reaction. I feel like I got a couple of like polite nods from the dads in front.
Yeah.
But there's all these people. It consisted mostly of people just like, I ran out of tri-tip.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there more flank steak out there?
Yeah.
Because this seems like the time to get up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went up, and, you know, I was looking back, I know how horrible it was. But at the time, I was like, well, I mean, I'm just doing what I can. And,
right.
Yeah.
You know, this is all I know how to do. And, you know, hopefully this is over soon.
Right.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the delusion, you know, propelled me through. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of gigs that I probably did that were probably just as bad, but I blocked them from my memory.
Yeah.
Because you need that grit to keep you going.
Yeah. It's like being a closer in baseball. You just keep going.
Yeah. Could you imagine if you took all those personally? Like every time that happened?
You wouldn't be a comedian.
But like, you still wanted to, but it just affected you as bad every single time.
Yeah.
Oof.
I mean, now it's funny because, you know, years later you have experience and, hey, you want to do 10 minutes for $100? You're like, oh, you want me to do 10 minutes of crowd work where I make fun of the guy with the shitty toupee?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. You learn how to work.
Not do one joke.
You learn how to work that system a little bit better.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I haven't really done like any corporate events where I feel like that could happen. But I mean, down the line, I'll know how to approach it.
Better. I did a birthday party probably a couple months ago for a fellow comedian.
Of course you did.
And it was his like sister's 50th birthday party. Oh, and they're really? All in the back, and there's like 8-year-olds and 9-year-olds. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep.
What comic booked you for that?
He hates me. I don't
Jesus
yeah.
Christ.
And yeah, so, what grudge does he have against you?
Yeah.
Who did you not pull out of the open mic bucket?
Right, yeah, exactly. But I, you know, it's funny because the minute I grabbed the microphone, the birthday girl got up
and walked to go greet some guests. No. And I'm like, you were my whole thing.
Yeah.
That was all I was going to do was make fun of you for the next 20 minutes. Like,
so you open with no comeback.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I did, literally. I was like, hey, there goes the only person I cared about in the room who's not staying for her own comedy show.
I'm sorry, I'll be right back. My friends, just keep going. I'll be right back.
We got a dip. I've got to get this dip out of the refrigerator immediately.
Like delegate that shit, Linda.
It's like being a magician and the rabbit just died.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is going to be a long hour.
The drunk clown shows up.
Oh,
to
yes.
You can't come in here.
So what'd you do?
I did fine. I mean, I just, you know, I did a 25-minute clean set, and then, you know, there was a, you know, one of the kids started crying, and I'm like, trust me.
I don't know if you did as well as you thought you did.
Yeah, well, I'm like, trust me, I'm crying on the inside, and, you know. But again, you know.
You know the kid loved that.
Yeah, right?
I know what that feels like.
Well,
she also showed up in a pantsuit.
Yeah. And she's been commenting, like, a lot on my Facebook. Really judgy stuff. But,
that's so funny.
But no, I think after a while, you've done this long enough, you just kind of figure out how to, you know, get to where you need to go. But that's the only thing that you can get through experience.
There's certain, like, do you guys meditate at all?
I do.
Are you guys into meditation?
I mean, I try to take deep breaths.
There's a certain part of bombing. It's kind of the same, but you get kind of zen when you're just like, you're bombing so hard that you just have to pick a spot and go into like this like safe place.
Oh, I don't do that.
You don't do that?
No, man. I get mad and I
do
re-engage.
You?
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
I literally,
really?
Something will go in my head and go, no. You know what I mean? Like I get all John Wick on these motherfuckers.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. Because I know this stuff's funny. Like,
okay.
I know. And so I know that basically I didn't connect in the beginning or whatever slew of problems.
Sometimes it's just a bad gig, though.
Sometimes it's a bad gig. But you know what? I'm going to try, like, to Stuart's point, is to try and learn something from it. I'm
going
to try and there's nothing better in the world. Like, hey, we all love killing in a room full of 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get these shit gigs and you can not only, you know, you don't have them in the beginning, but halfway through you get them to roll over.
Right.
That's a better feeling in the world than a 1,000-seat theater, man. You know?
I have a little notebook where I write down every set I've ever done that I can remember. And so when I wrote down, and I sometimes, especially earlier on, I would write notes to myself, like who I met that I think might be someone I would get to know further down. It's kind of interesting to look back on. And the note I wrote for that show at the community center was, never do comedy during the day.
Yeah.
It was a very wise note.
Yeah. It was
just one word that says quit.
Yeah. It's like no daytime comedy for you.
Yeah.
And that's hilarious.
But I'm glad I learned those things like early on. There's, you know, I feel like, you know, I think if you can learn those like critical lessons early on and have those milestones early enough, you know, just from, you know, by happenstance, I feel like, it allows that steep learning curve to be at least a little bit more reasonable.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure, yeah.
It's like, at least I'm picking up some things.
It's a really good idea to write notes after every set, though. I would do that. Like, half of them just says, just say nah next time.
Yeah.
Right.
More crowd work.
Right, yeah. I like when you're bombing, like, in your head, it's just like heavy metal music and, like, fire and flames.
Yeah.
Like, cut to me bombing, it's just like, hello, darkness, my old friend.
Oh, my God,
just floating in a pool.
But what's funny is I can see a comedian when he's bombing, I see that come over his face where he's just like, well, I'm going to phone it in. Fuck these people.
Just look at the ceiling.
Yeah.
This will be over very soon.
Nah, we're going to figure it out. And hey, I don't always get there. You know, it's not, you know, but I don't give up, man. I just keep going, trying to figure out something out.
I've had that hosting at the store on like a Monday when it's like I have to host for 4 hours during potluck. And sometimes someone eats it. Or maybe I haven't really like gotten the room together. And sometimes I'll just take a minute and I'll signal to the person I'm about to bring up. I was like, give me a second.
Right.
And you just got to reset the room and and you know just talk to someone, you know, if you're just like trying to do bits and it's just not and it's not working, and it's like, all right, well, let me just talk to some of these people because maybe I can get a word in edgewise with them. It's like, so who are you? I was like, what do you believe in? Like, don't say that.
But
like,
who are you voting for?
Yeah. What are you doing here?
Yeah, sometimes you got to break that.
Who's this bitch to you?
Have your parents seen you perform?
Oh, many times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Are they fans?
I would say so. I mean, I think they are, they just want to see that when I'm
They try to see one show I'm doing if I'm up in the Bay Area.
Sure.
Like if I'm hosting a weekend of shows, they'll try to come to one.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's like the Saturday early show. That's very much like a parent's.
Yeah, it's a safe one.
Come through.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, chance of me doing all right or strong.
Right.
But yeah, they'll, I think what they notice is that each time I come up, I'm a little bit better than the last time. And I think they're, as long as that keeps happening, I think they're going to be, you know, okay. You continue to be okay with what I'm doing.
Okay. Have your grandparents ever seen you perform?
Yeah, I actually have a good story about that that I didn't think to bring up to you before. But I have three living grandparents right now. My two grandparents that are together that are still alive, my mom's parents, they had come to see me perform early on. I tried to produce my own show probably a little too early on.
Sure.
And it was at the Purple Onion.
Okay.
Because a friend of mine was running shows and he's like, well, hey man, you've killed it on my show. Maybe you could try to get your own people out to your own show if you wanted to, you know, do it on one of these nights. And it's like, there's a lot to producing that I didn't really know and that I probably should have learned about. But, it was just a bad night. As far as like, I brought great comedians, but you know, the only people who came to the show were like my family.
Right. Yeah.
Which is fine, but it was weird.
Yeah.
And my grandma, you know, one of the nicest women in the world, as far as I can, you know, understand is.
Ladies, he also loves his grandmother.
Huh?
Yeah. I just said she's nice. I'm kidding. She's wonderful. And I do love her, but she came up to me and was like, honey, I'm going to be honest with you. I get really worried for you when you're on stage. And I think when this happened, I was like 21.
Uh-huh.
And she was just like, I don't know if I can, I might not be coming to your shows.
Oh.
Oh, that's hard.
I wish
that's hard.
I want you.
Grandma's keeping it fucking real.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's just like, I don't know if
I have notes.
My anxiety I get bad anxiety because I just get worried for you. She just, she couldn't separate her projection of her own worry onto me.
Right.
So, and I said, okay, thank you for telling me, I guess. But I guess I'll be seeing you. <It's>
like, see you at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I don't.
You just keep on keeping on, Graham, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're 80, so.
Has she seen you since?
Yeah. So when Ken and I did the San Francisco comedy competition, there was a week where we were doing shows where the audience turnout was the biggest I had ever performed in front of.
Sure.
So, like, we did a show at this theater in Escondido that was like 400 people, and then we did Sacramento State, which was like 500 people, and then we did this theater in Livermore, which was like 550. So I kept on topping itself.
Wow.
The biggest I performed in front of before was like 300, maybe 350, and then so it kept on getting bigger and bigger. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then we did a show in Santa Rosa at the Luther Burbank Center that was 1600 people.
Oh wow!
Yeah, which was insane.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only reason why anyone should consider doing the competition is like make it to the semifinals so you can do the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I and my grandparents live in Santa Rosa, so they came to the show because if they didn't, that'd just be mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, fuck you. Yeah, it's like, this is your backyard.
Yeah. Go outside and take a left.
Yeah.
So like so they came, my grandpa's 90 now. My grandma, I think just turned 89. And, so they came to the show and, you know, that was a big night for Ken and me because that night they determined who was going to go to the finals and both Ken and I ended up going on.
Oh, wow.
Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So, and I was almost certain it was, I wasn't sure. My score was definitely like very on the bubble of like not making it or making
it. It could go either way.
Exactly. And I ended up going through and it was a big night. And so I called my grandma the next day.
Uh-huh.
To say, hey, thanks so much for coming. I know it meant a lot for you to come. And she said, oh, honey, I'm not worried about you anymore.
Aww.
I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. She's like, you're very poised up there, and it seemed like you knew what you were doing. So, I was like, you don't need to say seemed. And
but I did have a few notes. I just want to talk to you. A couple of these tags, and you get a callback opportunity here.
If my grandma offered a good tag, I might take it.
Right?
Oh, I would.
If anyone offers a good tag, I might take it. I'm not that picky. But
that's great though.
But yeah, it was really cool.
What a cool full circle thing.
Yeah, it's rare that I feel like that stuff happens, and so it was cool to have that come that way.
Dude, that's fucking rad. Ah, I love it. What a great way to end it.
Yeah,
let's end it positive for once. thanks for coming on the show today,
thanks
man.
So much
that
for
was fantastic.
Me,
I how can people, first of all, plug your mic, and then also how can people find you social media wise? We have a lot of comics to listen
for sure. So social media at Stuart B. Thompson. That's Stuart B. Thompson, Thompson, on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, you name it. And then Facebook.com/Stuart Thompson Comedy. The website.
Just don't comment on anything.
Right. Please don't comment. Just send me a private message and be a nice person. StuartThompsonComedy.com. And then I run a mic. It's two nights a week. I only host the Thursdays when I'm in town. It's at the Vinador Cafe on Santa Monica near Crescent Heights, from 6 to 8 on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I host Thursdays. Chris Love hosts Wednesdays. And then my talk show, which I would love anyone to come to if they are interested, it's called The Late Night Show. And so I host it. Luke Schwartz is my Andy Richter. And we do it once a month at the Improv. The next one is on November 23rd. That's a Wednesday at 10 p.m. So if you want to do something in L.A. right before Thanksgiving, come to our show. It's going to be a really fun one.
Yeah, awesome. Great show. A lot of fun.
Yeah, Ken's been on it. And did a great job. So we try to, you know, you give comics an opportunity to do things that might be a little bit different from what they're doing, like actually try to do a late night set, right? Or Ken did a warm-up for crowd warm-up. So it's like, it's utilizing skills that I think Luke and I try to really curate who we put where, just because we know people have certain skills and we want to see them at least give it a shot to see if that's something they want to pursue further. And I know Ken's great with getting a crowd in a mood to enjoy a show. Absolutely. And so that's why we used him for that purpose.
So check that out. Ken, your mic is still Sundays at the Improv, Lab Work?
Yeah, we do Lab Work every Sunday at the 9:30 sign-up, 10 o'clock for the show. It's the official development show for the Improv Comedy Club in Melrose. Yep. And then I'll actually be in Sacramento December 16th and 17th at Laughs Unlimited.
Nice, nice.
And then I will be at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas December 5th through the
11th. We get it.
Kind of a big deal. you guys can find me on social media always at Comedian Ken Garr, Comedian Ken Garr, KenGarr.
Awesome. And then for me, come see me in the Midwest this week. All my dates are at justincomic.com. For our show, visit Foster the Podcast on iTunes, fosterthepodcast.com. Shout out to Ivan Ishkoff, our sound guy, for making us sound awesome. Also, shout out to Derek on Twitter, who is badass and always tweets and retweets us. And also, shout out to Anna D, the Anna Kitten on Twitter, who is also always super supportive of the show. So thanks, you guys, for being here. And Ken and I will see you guys next week.
Put your masks on.
Thank you for listening to Foster the Podcast.